donate and listen to the podcast at wrwl.org.
All righty, we are back. And now a word from my dear friend, Jan Porter.
Protect Ohio's babies and our Constitution by voting yes on August 8th. I'm Janet Porter, and I work to pass Ohio's ban on partial birth abortion, parental consent, and our heartbeat law to keep hearts beating. But if we don't vote yes on August 8th, we could lose them all. That's because of a deadly effort to inject abortion till birth in our state constitution. The threat is real. The polls are open. Your yes vote is urgent. Protect life. Vote yes on issue 1 by August 8th.
Alrighty, we are back, and you know we need to play that again at the bottom of the hour because we really, this is very important. Well, we're going to take a quick listen to a fellow named Alex Newman. You may have heard him; he's been on here before. I had him on the radio program years ago when he first got started, and we're going to be talking about. He's going to be telling us some about what we know, but he's going to show you how all of these things that are happening, all of this Antichrist things. Are all connected, which we've known. They're all connected together. So go ahead, and this is why we're doing as much as we can to get as much of this information out to you as quickly as possible. He tells you in Daniel chapter 12 and verses 3 and 4 that in the last days, he tells you knowledge will be increased. Everything is going to speed up, and everything is speeding up right now. And so we're seeing this live, real time. So, folks, you need to be prepared. So go ahead and take it away, style.
I'm Greg Hunter. Welcome to USAWatchdog.com. My next guest is a published author. He's published many books. But the book that explains what is going on, he published it a few years ago. And people ask, could you name the names? Could you tell me what's going on? And the names are the same. And what they're doing is the same game plan that you're watching unfold year after year, week after week, with the war and the transgenderism and the central bank digital currency and the riots in France. And it's deep state. This is the book, and people say, well, name names. It's in here. And they talk about all this immigration. There's all the ills that you're seeing, the crazy time that you're seeing can be traced back to these globalist, weasel, godless, demonic weasels. And to talk about that is Alex Newman, who has family in Europe. And he's over in Europe right now. I think you're in Stockholm. And you're watching the news. You're not getting the same news about France that he's getting over in Europe. And let's just start with the riots in France. And you basically semi-predicted this in this book, Deep State.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Greg. Great to be here. And yeah, what's happening all across Europe is not just France. In fact, here in Sweden, I'm sitting in Stockholm, Sweden, an immigrant from the Middle East about a week ago burned a Quran. And so there's all kinds of unrest, even here in Stockholm. There's been invasions of Swedish embassies in other countries. But France, of course, has been the tinderbox. It really exploded into violence. They've burned down multiple buildings. They've burned down precious historical sites. They've been looting. They've been shooting fireworks at the police. It's just been absolutely out of control. And what's happening here is actually part of something much larger. And I do have two chapters in the book dealing with this. There's a reason why the globalists are pushing the mass migration agenda. And, first they told us it was about humanitarianism. Of course, that was very easy to show that wasn't true. To give you some concrete examples, right, that I was living here in Sweden when they were telling the Swedes that it was the humanitarian thing to do to say anybody who got here from Syria could have automatic permanent residence. And then if they stayed for a few years, they could have citizenship. They said that was humanitarian. Well, somebody did, actually a friend of mine, an immigrant from Iran, did some of the cost estimates and found out that you could take care of probably 50 times as many people for the same amount of money if you put them in Lebanon or Jordan or Saudi Arabia or Turkey or one of the nearby countries. So if you're really a humanitarian, why wouldn't you want to take care of 50 times as many people for the same amount of money rather than bringing them here at enormous expense to taxpayers? So then they switched the narrative. Then it was, well, we need more young people to work jobs because otherwise the old people aren't going to have anybody to pay for their pensions or to give them sponge baths when they get old. That also turned out to be a lie. Again, my Iranian friend who was doing that postdoctoral work in economics explained that he had done the projections. He was from Iran. They still called him a racist, but he looked at the numbers and he found that there was no point in the future where you could say at this point they're going to become net contributors to the treasury. So it wasn't humanitarianism. It wasn't economics. It was very anti-humanitarian and it was very anti-economical. In fact, it severely strained public finances. So there has to be another agenda. And what I prove in the book, and I think at this point it's becoming more and more obvious, is this has everything to do with undermining the nation state, undermining cohesive societies, and really breaking up Christianity. And there's almost no place where that's more obvious than Sweden. They had one of the bishops of the Church of Sweden. They had a national church until recently. It was part of the government. So we need to take the crosses down from our churches to avoid offending all of the Muslim immigrants. So this is a war against nations. This is a war against tradition, Western culture, and it's a war against the Christian religion. And ultimately, I do believe they want to set up a civil war. They want to balkanize these places. And what you see, Greg, and I know I'm rambling. I'll stop in just a moment.
No, no, keep going.
But what you're seeing all across Europe, right, this is not just limited to France or Sweden, is the natives are very rapidly becoming a minority, first of all, in their own big cities. Later, it will be in the whole country. And I can give you some obvious examples. In London, Brits are officially a minority now. They have a Muslim mayor. Britain, which has been a Christian nation for over 1,000 years, I mean, it's an established Christian nation, they now have a pagan prime minister for the first time in over 1,000 years, a self-proclaimed proud pagan running their government. You look at Brussels. Something like 20% of the population of Brussels is actually Belgian. You look at Malmo in Sweden, Swedes are in the minority. You look at Frankfurt, Germans are in the minority. And so this is very deliberate. It's calculated. What happens here is people look around them and they say, wow, I don't share the same language, the same culture, the same religion, the same ideas, the same upbringing. I mean, we can't even talk to each other. What's the purpose of having these arbitrary lines on a map that we call France or Sweden or Germany? Why not just have a big, first of all, European superstate and then later a one world system? So that's what they're doing. The evidence is overwhelming. I go through a lot of it in the book. And actually, it might sound strange, but the globalists love what just happened in France. Destruction, polarization, shaking the grounds and the foundations of society. You see churches burning. This is all calculated. It's very deliberate. And as I mentioned to you before we started, the State Department was even involved in training some of the agitators that made this mess in France.
Oh, my goodness. That is and is this – and so people say, well, that's France, and who cares about that? People are in America. Well, I do, and a lot of people do. But, this isn't going to happen in America. And you say, well, not so fast. Same people that are doing this to France and Germany and Holland and all that, and Netherlands, same people doing it here. Tell me, is this going to happen in America?
That's the plan. I mean, we're starting to see this now, a balkanization. Never in human history have societies imported a bunch of foreigners and then taught those foreigners that the country they just moved to was oppressive and evil. And yet that's exactly what a lot of the European governments are doing. That's exactly what the U.S. government is doing. They've got the border wide open. I've interviewed multiple times just in the last year former senior officials from the Trump administration. Last week, I interviewed Tom Homan, the director of ICE during Trump's administration. Before that, I interviewed Mark Morgan, the director of Customs and Border Protection. They said they have dissolved the border on purpose, right? There's been at least 6 million illegal immigrants coming across the southern border since Biden has been in office. They're being put on buses. They're being put on trains. They're being shipped all over the country. And then to the extent that they do get any kind of government-backed education and the education that their children are getting in government indoctrination centers posing as schools, they're telling them that this country is oppressive, that it's built on white supremacy, that everything needs to be dismantled, that that America has a legacy of imperialism and racism and colonialism, and the reason America is so rich is because we exploited the third world. It's all absolute lies, of course, but that's what's happening. So this is very deliberate. It's very calculated. And what they're ultimately doing, Greg, and I used to live in South Africa as well, and so I've kind of seen where this goes. If you want to see kind of the end destination of what they're planning for the world, South Africa is a really good example. They took at least a dozen different nations and press them all together under a single unitary communist state. And when I say communist, I'm not using that metaphorically. I'm not trying to be inflammatory. Literally, the Communist Party is in the ruling coalition. The ANC, which is technically the biggest party, is the leadership is completely dominated by communists. So what they did was they took all these disparate nations, they united them into one, and then they dispossessed all of the different nations, removed from them the ability to govern themselves, to control their own destiny. That's what they want for the United States. That's what they want for the Western world, except now instead of one region of one continent, they're talking about doing it on a global level. But how do you create the conditions to bring that about? Well, one of the ways you do it is massive, overwhelming immigration, and then no efforts at all at integration or at actually encouraging the people who are coming to become Americans or Swedes or French or whatever the case may be. So they've done this deliberately. And actually, they kind of said the quiet part out loud. There was the UN director of migration. I called him the migration czar. His name was Peter Sutherland. He used to be a bigwig at the Goldman Sachs vampire squid. So he became the official UN czar for migration. And he said publicly in an interview that was posted on the UN's website that the goal of all of this was to eliminate nations. He said, we have to get rid of these old historic memories of our own countries and realize we're all one, right? We have to get rid of borders. We have to get rid of nation states. And we have to create this, first these regional governments, and then eventually the world government. So that's what this is aimed at. It's very, very clear. And anybody who thinks America is going to be immune to this has not been paying attention. Again, the southern border is wide open. And there are no signs that that is going to change anytime soon. So this is a disaster in slow motion.
Well, they're going to hang on to power. It's not just Biden's. I don't know if he knows what day it is or if he gets his right foot in his right shoe and his left foot in his left shoe. I have no idea. Probably not. But, they just arrested the Biden whistleblower. I mean, all this crime, it's obvious they used the SWIFT system because they couldn't get duffel bags full of $100 bills. This is according to Marjorie Taylor Greene. They went to the Treasury and they, well, you had all these money transfers in SWIFT. They had people who are coming forward from Burisma saying, yeah, I paid him millions, right? I mean, this is a known stuff, not what I think. It's actually reported stuff. And the latest whistleblower just got arrested by the Biden Justice Department. Are we in a banana republic? Is this part of and parcel the game plan that you brought up in deep state?
It's exactly what's happening. And, you know, unfortunately, it hasn't been just Biden. The CCP influence, the foreign influence over our political class has been going on for a very long time. Yeah, with Biden, it's especially obvious, right? Millions and millions of dollars coming in from entities connected to the CCP, millions of dollars coming in from entities connected to Ukraine to basically help these foreign governments and to betray your own country. But this problem is absolutely ubiquitous in Washington. It's ironic that they arrested one of these whistleblowers on a FARA violation. FARA is the Foreign Agent Registration Act. I mean, what was Hunter Biden doing if not acting as a foreign agent on U.S. soil? And we all have the proof, right? We've all seen what came off of the laptop. We've all seen the emails. We've all heard the recordings where he's talking about this. How in the world are you going to charge a whistleblower with a FARA violation? How are you going to charge somebody like Paul Manafort, Trump's campaign manager, with a FARA violation, and then allow Hunter Biden and his cronies to run around and prance around like nothing's going on here and to plead guilty to basically a non-crime? The corruption is at such outrageous levels that I think at this point, Greg, they're probably doing some of this deliberately to demoralize us. I think there is a real effort right now to completely discredit all American institutions. I don't recommend necessarily that people spend a lot of time on Twitter, but if you go to Twitter, you'll see all the different federal agencies, including the military, by the way, promoting all the pride stuff and the transgender military officers. Obviously, the DOJ is a total disgrace now, and I think they want this. They want Americans to be hostile, to hate their own institutions. I think for the same reason that we saw that in Sri Lanka, right? In Sri Lanka, when the institutions of Sri Lanka did some really dumb things like ban fertilizers and destroy the agricultural system that people depended on, what happened? People rose up and they burned down the presidential palace and they broke into the prime minister's house and just went totally crazy. Well, what would happen if we did that in America? these brilliant institutions created by our Constitution would be burned to the ground. And I think, frankly, a lot of Americans are ready for that. People are so sick of this. A lot of Americans would be fine if the whole thing just collapsed. And that's a very dangerous situation to be in. You know, we need to recognize here that we're dealing with criminals who have infiltrated our institutions. It's not our institutions that are the problem. It's that our institutions have been hijacked and weaponized. And the perfect example is this persecution of the whistleblower and the protection that we're seeing for all of the cronies connected to the Bidens and the Clintons.
Criminals are running these institutions. That's a great point. Institutions expand on that. Institutions themselves aren't bad. It's the criminals running them.
Yeah, and I mean, if you read our Constitution is brilliant. I'm not one of those who necessarily ascribes it to divine influence or something. It was the product of incredibly brilliant individuals who had done probably some of the most comprehensive studies of history of previous political systems, and they bequeathed us, they left posterity this incredible document called the U.S. Constitution and the incredible institutions that were produced by that Constitution, like the federal government, like the state governments, like the dispersion, the distribution, the separation of power. And this was a brilliant system. I mean, there's been no other system in all of human history that has produced as much prosperity for as many people, as much individual liberty, as much peace as that American system. But unfortunately, the Constitution is no longer obeyed. So now we have kind of the hollowed out shell of the Constitution, which, of course, the Constitution is just a piece of paper. It's not going to protect itself. As long as voters allow this to continue, it will continue. But what we need to recognize is the Constitution is not the problem, and the institutions are not the problem. Yeah, the unconstitutional ones, you could say, are problematic. You know, why do we have a Department of Education? Why do we have a Department of Commerce or Energy or any of these things? None of these things were foreseen or authorized by the Constitution. But if we got back to the constitutional system that our founders created, the vast majority of our problems as a nation would go away very, very quickly. And that includes so much of what's happening to our young people in the schools.
Before we get to, I want to talk to you about the schools. You have a new book coming out. Basically, you told me the working title was Destruction of America by Education. But let's just go, before we get there, I wanted to talk about, and we're going to come circle back to that because it's really important. You have The Crimes of the Educators, which is one of the books you did years ago, and it became super popular in the last few years. And you were warning about this because you saw these problems, and it was like, they're not that crazy. And then we got, Black Lives Don't Matter and critical, racism theory, and we hate everybody, and we want black people to hate white people and white people to hate white people, which white people that hate black people, which is totally bizarre, and trying to force that, this racial divide, which was doing pretty well before Obama. So we'll just go right into it. Why in your book that you're saying Destruction of America by Education? You have a new book out. It's coming out. So you're furthering your Crimes of the Educator, but you're taking it up on steroids. Why are you saying that?
I believe, and I have a chapter on this in the Deep State book as well, I believe of all the weapons that the Deep State is using to destroy our society, the public education system is the single most important one. It's the one that transcends all the others. It's the one that runs through all of the others. The reason they've been so successful, and I mean, just take the open borders as one example. The reason they've been able to get away with completely dissolving our border and shipping in millions and millions and millions of illegal immigrants and putting them on a pathway to citizenship over and over and over again, the reason they've been able to get away with that is because they have dumbed down and indoctrinated multiple successive generations of Americans. And this is true, going back to critical race theory is another perfect example, right? The way that they turned so many Americans against their fellow Americans was through the public school system. Right now, as we speak, they're teaching little kids whose ancestors came from Europe that they are oppressors and that everything bad happening in the world to everyone who's not a European is their fault. You may be four, but you have white privilege, and that white privilege is the cause of all of these different evils. At the same time, they're telling little children whose ancestors came from Africa or whose ancestors came from Asia or South America, you are oppressed. There's nothing you'll ever be able to do to make yourself unoppressed except burn down this system. And of course, all of this is just Marxism 101 with a twist, right? Which Antonio Gramsci and the Frankfurt School figured out. They understood that they were never going to get a Marxist revolution in much of the Western world using Marxist ideas about class, right? American workers, quote unquote, were not all that interested in rising up against their employers, right? They had very, very nice schedules. They were earning a lot of money, right? A dad could pay his mortgage and put his children through college, and the wife could stay home and take care of the kids, all on one salary, right? People were living better in America than any other place in all of human history. They didn't feel very oppressed. So they had to come up with a new system. The system they came up with, it was critical race theory and other descendants from critical theory. Queer theory is a new one that we're now seeing more and more in the schools. You have cisgender privilege if you identify with the sex you were assigned at birth. You have heterosexual privilege if you are attracted to the opposite sex. So this is the kind of nonsense that comes from the Marxist theory. And, you know, a sensible, well-educated adult would laugh at all this stuff. They say, that's the dumbest thing I ever heard in my life. But when you teach it to kindergartners and then you teach it again in first grade and then again in second grade and third grade and fourth grade, and the kids don't learn anything else, and then it's reinforced by the entertainment system, well, they come away with that at the heart of their worldview. And if you want to know why our society is collapsing, you have to look no further than what's happening in the public school system on all of these issues.
Look at Brown University. There was a story out that 40% identified as LGBTQ non-binary morons. I mean,
yep.
They're morons. This is what's coming up. It's because they were taught to be morons.
Yep. And it's clear that this is being learned in schools, right? I mean, for how many decades did the LGBT movement try to tell us that this was genetic? It's who they are. They were born that way. Oh, so you're telling me 40% of the kids at Brown University were born as one of these? Give me a break, right? Nobody with two brain cells to rub together and even the most minimal understanding of logic and consistency could ever believe something so preposterous.
All right, we're back. And you know what they were talking about? This really started and took off with the women's liberation movement. When they started that, that was right from the pit of hell. And I remember David Rockefeller talking about how they started, how these men started this women's liberation movement to destroy the families, to break up families. And boy, I'm going to tell you, nothing broke up, destroyed marriage more than feminism, okay? And that's where it started. Now it's going right to hell has opened her mouth wide, and all of these other things are coming right out of there. And so there you go, folks. Now, by the way, did you know in the Ohio Constitution, it says that imbeciles shall not vote, right? That's in our Constitution.
Yes. It says imbeciles and idiots.
Means that there should be no votes from the left.
That's
right.
That's what I was going to say. It should be cut by at least in half.
That's right.
At least in half.
That's right in our Constitution. Uh-huh. Yeah. All right. Not once, but thrice. That's right. Drugs discovered three times at Biden's crack house since 2022. Boebert reveals after Secret Service briefings. It is not so surprising, the revelation following a Secret Service briefing on Thursday, that was today, a Republican representative, Lauren Boebert, announced that cocaine discovered at the White House on July 2nd was not the first incident of drugs found at Biden's White House, we should say his crack house, citing two other instances within the last year. By the way, I just was watching a clip of Joe Biden when he was a senator, saying anyone who gets caught with crack should serve at least 5 years. In prison. Well,
yes.
Except for unless you're Biden, right?
Right.
And then the Gateway Pundit reported earlier that Secret Service had announced the conclusion of its investigation into the recent cocaine discovery at the White House, despite having narrowed down a list of 500 potential individuals. No suspects have been officially identified. In other words, the fix is in. Interestingly, the investigation has ended with administering drug tests to these individuals, a decision that sparked further controversy and calls for transparency. According to the Secret Service statement, there was no surveillance video footage found that provided investigation leads or any other means for investigators to identify who may have deposited or found a substance in that area without physical evidence. The investigation will not be able to single out a person of interest from the hundreds of individuals who passing through the vestibule where the cocaine was discovered. Boy, I'm going to tell you, unbelievable. The security there, they have cameras everywhere. I don't believe that. I don't believe one word of that.
Well, here's an article that might explain how that happened. FBI accused of blowing off judges' ruling against Biden censorship. Whistleblowers have revealed to Congress the FBI essentially blew off an order from a federal court judge that bans officials from Joe Biden's administration from meeting with big tech corporations to scheme about censoring messages Americans are allowed to hear. It says the whistleblowers told members the FBI leaders simply didn't do anything, didn't take any steps to follow the judge's temporary injunctions. The report said, however, the U.S. District Judge Terry Doty of Louisiana issued his injunction against Biden's censorship plans. FBI Director Christopher Wray, sounds familiar, doesn't it, and his lieutenants never took any steps to comply. In doing so, Director Wray and Deputy Director Abbott have willingly disregarded the judicial authority and limitations that federal courts have over the FBI. And it says here that the judge said evidence produced thus far depicts an almost dystopian scenario. And I'll leave it at that. That's unreal.
All right. You know, here's one. J6er Brian Mock exposes Roseanne Boylan's murder and forces prosecutors. By the way, this is from the Gateway Pundit, too. Prosecutors' acknowledgement of the police brutality in closing arguments of the D.C. bench trial. Now, this was on the 11th, and the verdict was supposed to be brought out yesterday. I don't know what it was, but I don't expect anything to happen because there is nothing in Washington, D.C. There is not one court that is not corrupted. It is completely Washington District of Crime. That's what it is, District of Crime. Those courts, everything there in D.C. is corrupted. I mean, it is super corrupted. Anyhow, so I don't expect anything any kind of justice in any way, shape, or form coming out of any of those D.C. courts.
Oh, I agree. It's like they said, they simply blow them off. It doesn't matter what the judgments are. It doesn't matter, what comes up. They're just not going to do it.
In closing arguments, pro-self-defendant Muck leaned heavily into reports of police brutality on January 6th, suggesting that much of the bad behavior from the crowd toward police was instigated by police themselves. Now, Chris Wray said there was no FBI agents involved in there, but that police chief there, the former police chief, said said the place was swarming with FBI agents.
Sure.
Okay.
Yes.
So there you go.
I have an additional article here about January 6th. It says, New York Times says Ray Epps can sue Fox News for defamation after he led Trump supporters to the Capitol, busted through two police barricades, hurled massive metal sign at the police, but was never arrested. And it says what's known about the man is that he's a two-time Trump voter named Ray Epps. And in that he took part in a demonstration in Washington on the day and night before, he was captured on camera, urging a crowd to march with him, enter the Capitol. Federal agents and prosecutors have not charged Epps with a crime, focusing instead on the more than 1,000 other demonstrators who acted violently or were trespassing. The Justice Department's sprawling investigation into the attack again remains open, and however, Epps is still not charged. For starters, Ray did trespass on January 6th by pushing his way through the police barricades. The FBI just never arrested him. Ray Epps was also filmed hurling the sign at the union cops, but for some reason, was never charged with a crime. 60 Minutes ran an entire segment defending Ray Epps and never once mentioned his criminal assault. The fake news outlet hid this from the American public. And it says here that Ray Epps, a likely federal cutout, was never arrested despite leading crowds to the U.S. Capitol and taking part in a criminal assault. And I have a number of pictures here in the article. It kind of ends like this, that Epps was never charged for pushing this massive sign at the police on January 6th. The individuals were not, these individuals were not lucky enough. The eight men were charged, and these are the eight men that basically kept it off of their head by brushing it away. These eight men were charged with an average of 3 years in prison for touching the sign as it passed over their heads on January 6th. Amazing.
There you go. That's kind of justice you get in, by the way, in. But go ahead, little Lisa.
Okay. A Gateway Pundit reports Joe Biden on Wednesday arrived in Helsinki to celebrate Finland's NATO membership, but he arrived in Helsinki on Air Force One only to be whisked away in a 40-vehicle motorcade just hours after he warned climate change is the greatest threat to humanity.
All right, there you go. We're going to hear from Jen Porter again very quickly.
Protect Ohio's babies and our Constitution by voting yes on August 8th. I'm Janet Porter, and I work to pass Ohio's ban on partial birth abortion, parental consent, and our heartbeat law to keep hearts beating. But if we don't vote yes on August 8th, we could lose them all. That's because of a deadly effort to inject abortion till birth in our state constitution. The threat is real. The polls are open. Your yes vote is urgent. Protect life. Vote yes on issue 1 by August 8th.
We'll be right back after this. Golden Tate, he made the ground, the mountains high and the earth round.
And I saw God become a man and hung upon a cross by love.
The Ancient of Days came to teach us his ways.
Give him all your love, give him all your praise.
Hanging on a cross there, he took my place because of love.
Can't see him with your eyes, touch him with your hands. The Son of God became a man, strong enough to change the heart of any man. This man called love. He will lift you up, he won't let you down. Take your broken life, turn it all around. Ever since time, nothing's ever been found stronger than love.
Some men are like me, don't question or doubt.
Strengthen their faith day in and day out.
Sins all forgiven, all blotted out. Called love. Then I see how I've been blessed.
Got a home in heaven, the very best.
Then I know by God this world was blessed by a man called love.
Can't see him with your eyes, touch him with your hands. The Son of God became a man. Strong enough to change the heart of any man, this man called love. He will lift you up, he won't let you down. Take your broken life, turn it all around. Ever since time, nothing's ever been found stronger than love. Can't see him with your eyes, touch him with your hands. The Son of God became a man, strong enough to change the heart of any man. This man called love. He will lift you up, he won't let you down. Take your broken life, turn it all around. Ever since time, nothing's ever been found stronger than love.
Alrighty, we're back. And that was Joe Clark, the real Joe Clark, and yours truly, Pastor Ernie. Boy, we missed that fellow. He was with the ministry for a long time. And boy, that guy could do things with computers that you would not believe. Alrighty. In D.C., the District of Crime, now, Randy, non-citizens can now work as police officers.
Oh, no.
Yeah, yeah. In the District of Crime, while federal law prohibits non-U.S. citizens from working in law enforcement, but in Washington, D.C., Washington District of Crime has joined the push to allow non-citizens. It's better if they're really looking for people that are, you know, felons and things like this. I mean, the bigger the criminal you are, that is what you have in Washington, D.C. Green card holders to work as police officers. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Immigrants without U.S. citizenship will soon be able to get badges and guns as long as they vote for the Democrat. As long as they, you know, they vote. Again, Washington, D.C. has become completely and totally corrupt. There's no sign. There's not any remnant of anything there that is not corrupted in that government there in D.C.
Well, if that's winter, here's spring. Illinois law now forces landlords, to rent and sell property to illegal immigrants amid soaring urban costs. It says Illinois has passed a law requiring landlords to open their doors to illegal immigrants. The legislation makes it a civil rights violation in the state of Illinois to discriminate against a person based on their immigration status. And it says also that someone's background should not disqualify them from buying or renting property. Governor J.B. Pritzker, who signed a law that allows illegal immigrants also in the state to have access to standard driver's licenses that can be used for identification with or without permission from the U.S. Immigration Department.
All right. Speaking of that, Tennessee, this is another one from Gateway Pundit, Tennessee soccer coach arrested for drugging and raping multiple children in an illegal immigrant. And he is an illegal immigrant. Now, this is one of Joe Biden's illegal immigrants. This is the kind of people that Joe Biden really wants to bring into the country. Police confirmed that a Tennessee soccer coach, one of Joe Biden's Democrats, was accused of drugging and raping at least 10 children in an illegal immigrant, as an illegal immigrant. The suspect identified as 56-year-old Camilo Hurtado. 56-year-old Camilo Hurtado Campos is also accused of recording these hideous acts. The Gateway Pundit reported on the arrest of Campos, who is now under investigation for his alleged involvement in a series of sexual assaults on minors. You see, remember that the Democrats, they want to legalize pedophilia, so there would be, you know, so there would be no crime there at all.
And also lower the age of consent down to about 12, I think, is what the goal is.
Well, I'm going to tell you, it's just where this has got to be a sign of the Lord coming back. So how much lower can it get? How much more degrading and reprobate can it become? Police express concern that the actual number of victims could be much, much higher than currently known, and anticipate filing more charges in coming weeks. There you go. All right.
I got another one here. It says the UN is set to launch Global Shocks Plan just prior to U.S. presidential election. Interestingly, the United Nations proposal would begin September 2024, a mere 2 months before the highly anticipated general election in the United States. Now, while there are several aggressive proposals included in the agenda, some as disconcerting as the UN's plan for emergency platform, which would provide international organizations significant powers in a time of global shocks such as global pandemics. It says the emergency platform would provide the international body with power over all nations in the time of distress. And according to the UN's policy proposal, the Secretary General could extend the emergency platform if need be, despite its duration being set for a definite time period. Such a decision could be made without the consent of any members of the UN. And instead of defending America's sovereignty, the White House expressed its support for the emergency platform.
All right, very good. I've got an announcement to make here for this coming Sunday. We got to change things up a little bit, Randy. First of all, instead of the morning Bible classes you and I both teach, we have to get the newsletter out. Now, we only got just a third, not even a third of it out. It's in the mail now, but we're behind it. And so, doers of the word, you folks there that normally attend, come, make sure you're there on time. This Sunday morning, we got to get the newsletter out. So show up. And what should we do to them if they don't show up?
I tell you what, we're going to cut their pay. We'll cut their pay.
All righty.
Yeah, yeah, which they volunteer anyway. So we'll just cut the pay.
How do you cut nothing?
That's right.
All righty, there you go. All right, well, I'll tell you what. And here's the schedule for Sunday. We've had a change. Now, I've got that fire-breathing, flaming evangelist, Bill Brady.
Amen.
Bill Grady is going to be there with us Sunday. But here's going to be the schedule. We had to change things around. And he's going to have his books there, too, already. He has written some dynamite books. But since there'll be no Bible study in the morning, but we'll be there, 11:30, I'll be preaching the morning message. And you know what I'm going to be preaching on?
What's that?
Lord's willing. Why we have such a low percentage of professing Christians that are even registered to vote. I'm going to be looking at what God's Word, the Bible, has to say about being lukewarm, about ignorance and apathy out there. The Bible actually has a lot to say about it. And people need to wake up, because people try to justify, you know, saying, well, you know, God should be satisfied with what I did today. Well, we're going to see what God actually has to say about that, because there's a lot in His Word. So we're going to be I'll be preaching on that. We do not have time today. We don't have time today to sit back and be ignorant and apathetic anymore. The time's gone, huh?
That's right.
And so I'll be preaching on that in the morning, 11:30. Then at 3:30 to 5, we're going to take a look at an in-depth study into AI. What is heading our way with this artificial intelligence? Kamala Harris, she gave her definition. Oh, my. I can't believe it if you listen to that woman about AI. But anyhow, and then from 5 to 6:30, Bill Grady. From 5 to 6:30, Bill Grady will be in the pulpit with a fiery message. And then he will also be with me from 8 to 9. He will also be preaching the radio program from 8 to 9. So that's our lineup as it is right now for this coming Sunday.
And I'd like to strongly recommend Bill Grady. I'll tell you what, I'm in the middle of one of his books now. And if you ever want to know about all the people that have died kind of linked to Clinton, all the major storms that we've seen over probably the past 40 years have been tied to some illegal activity that we've done that's a direct violation of what God has said. Bill Grady puts a nice ribbon on all that, and I'm only halfway done with the book.
The guy is dynamite. Absolutely. Money. Very, very powerful. Yeah. All right. Now we've got to go. We have Pastor Hal is with us. Hey, Pastor Hal.
Yes, sir.
What do you know, man?
Well, I know when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn. And boy, are they mourning now, you know, ever since the election got usurped, you know, and the Communist Party got in control. There's been more mourning than anything, satanic activity, than anything you could imagine.
All that is necessary for wicked men to prevail is for good men to do nothing. Is that not true?
That's very true.
And this radio ministry for 50 years has been trying to encourage and exhort people to stand up and be doers of the word, not just hearers deceiving their own selves, huh?
Right.
And so, anyhow, that's what we have to do. Everybody's got to show up. And there's no more time for apathy and ignorance. The days of apathy and ignorance are gone. They can't afford it. And the people that are apathetic and ignorant, they're going to be the ones crying the loudest, saying, why doesn't somebody do something? And those on the left that are so quick to betray the unborn children, to betray the people, to betray God, they're going to be crying the loudest when they become betrayed by their own, won't they?
Right. You know, one thing that amazes me, Pastor, is the amount of conservative talk show hosts that were referred to things the Democrat Party is doing, the politicians, as being stupid. They're not doing it because they're stupid. They're doing it because it was planned from day one how to destroy this country. You got communists in there. You got traitors that are following the communists. And everything that they're doing to destroy this country spiritually, materially, economically, and then destroy the killed children and everything else like that. Everything they're doing it because it was planned, because they're traitors, they're communists, they hate America, and they hate God. It's run by Satan's people. And it's just really frustrating to hear these conservative talk show hosts saying they're doing it because they're stupid. They don't know any better. That's baloney. They're doing it because this thing was planned on the drawing board for a long time. And every satanic thing that's happening to this country right now is planned by the Democratic Party politicians.
Well, you're absolutely right. And the globalists, and if there's anything that I tell you what, that I despise more than those Satanists on the left, it's the rhinos. It's those who professing to be Republicans or conservatives and then betray the people that vote them. They'll run as a conservative and then they turn around and they just put it between the shoulder blades of the people that elected them, huh?
And I think a lot of them got into it because they were Democrats in disguise from the very beginning, and the Democrats needed them to get in there and just, help overthrow the Republican Party and conservatism and everything. So I look at a rhino as being no more than a Democrat in disguise. I call them Democrats.
Well, yeah, they are. Because, see, we told you, remember the last couple of lectures, we were telling you how that they were asking the Democrats to register in the primaries as Republicans and to run. And they had these Democrats who ran as Republicans to get elected. And, you know,
right.
And so a lot of people that are uninformed, a lot of voters just looked and they saw an R behind the name and just figured that's conservative, but they're not. Remember, again, it goes back to apathy and ignorance. People really need, Hosea 4:6 says, my people are destroyed, they're destroyed, they're destroyed for lack of knowledge. And
right.
Again, folks out there, there's no more time for that. There's no more time. This is where we got to where we're at today. If we could go back and look at back in the 50s, you know, you had very few homes that had two people working. Usually it was the husband. And you know what? Marriages stayed together back then. And people communicated. You had families. Things were good, so much better. We never even used to lock our doors or windows at nighttime. Everybody knew the neighbors, and today it's going in the opposite direction. And the main reason for that, if there's the main culprits, you'll find right from the pulpits. That's where it started, right in the pulpits, folks. And so the preachers out there today, if you're in a church, if that pastor is not as bold as a lion, get out of there, because God didn't put him in the pulpit. The Bible says the righteous are as bold as lions. Right, Randy?
That's right. Yeah,
okay.
That's so true.
That's Lion Randy there, right there.
Oh, my goodness.
There you go. All righty. Well, Hal, tell us quickly how we can avoid the hellfire and how we can get to heaven. A lot of people out there need to know that.
Okay, I'll try and make it short and to the point, but you know, Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. The Bible also says that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself. And basically, it comes down to this. God loves you, but he hates your sins. God wants you to come to heaven, but he says your sins cannot come with you. And the only thing that can wash away your sins is the blood of Christ. Now, John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, when the Bible says God so loved the world, he presented that love to everybody in the form of his son, Jesus Christ, and what Jesus did for them on that cross. But when people reject that, when they reject Jesus Christ, then they, you know, the Bible says God hates all the workers of iniquity, and there's no greater iniquity you can commit than by spurning the work that Jesus Christ did for you on that cross to save your soul. And so light rejected becomes lightning, and there's more people going to die lost and go to hell because they didn't want to receive the payment Jesus paid for their salvation. They're not going to go to hell because God wanted them to go to hell. It's like they rejected their own salvation that was being offered to them through Jesus Christ. And now Ephesians 2:8-9 says, for by grace are you saved through faith and not of yourself. It's a gift of God, You cannot earn your way to heaven. It's a free gift of God. But see, when Jesus died on that cross, God was allowing him to pay the payment for every sin you've ever done. That payment had to be paid. God's righteous nature demanded sin be paid for. There's no getting around it. But God's love entered into it in that he allowed Jesus to pay that payment in your place. He allowed Jesus to transfer your sin and mine onto his son. And when Jesus said it is finished, that means all the work necessary for your redemption and mine has been done, period. Now, whether you go to heaven or hell depends on what you do with that finished payment. And right now, while I'm talking to you, Jesus Christ stands at the door of your heart and he's knocking. Revelation 3:20 said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man open that door, and hear my word and open the door, I will come into him." So right now, whether you go to heaven or hell depends on what you do with that finished payment that Jesus Christ is offering to you. And John 1:12 says, "But as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God." Again, you have to receive that payment. How do you do that? Romans 10:13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." To call means to pray. That's known as the sinner's prayer. That's where you, being sorry about the fact you're a sinner, which is repentance, ask Jesus to come into your heart and save you, and he promises he'll do that if you ask him in faith, simple childlike faith, with all your heart and mean it. So my job as a preacher is to lead people to Jesus Christ. My telling you what Jesus did on the cross isn't enough to save you. You've got to receive that payment. And so you can do that right now with Jesus knocking at the door of your heart and asking him to come, and you asking him to come in and save you. He'll do that. And so if you want to do that, let's say a prayer right now. Let me lead you in a simple prayer. But even though we're praying together, it'd be directly between you and God. Okay, let's pray. Oh, dear God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I confess unto you that I've sinned against you in thought, word, and deed. And I repent of those sins. And Lord Jesus, I believe you died on that cross and shed your precious blood for my salvation. Ephesians 1:7 says, it tells us that through the blood of Christ that we get our sins washed away. In him was redemption, in his blood. And so if you want Jesus Christ to come into your heart, Lord, please come into my heart. Wash me from my sins in your blood and give me eternal life. I believe, I receive, and I thank you for that salvation, Lord. I know nothing else can save me. My church membership can't save me. Water baptism can't save me. None of the saints can save me. Peter, Paul, and Mary can't save me. Only you, Lord Jesus, because it was your blood that washed away my sins, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. And forgive me for a moment ago, I had a senior moment. I just turned 75, and I'm starting to have those senior moments. But listen, the important thing is, if you just ask Jesus Christ in your heart as your Savior, he came in, and you have eternal life. 1 John 5:13 says, "These things have I written unto you, that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know you have eternal life." And that's God's promise to you, and God cannot lie. It's not based on your feelings. You'll fill up one day and down the next, in and out, but God's promise never changes. That's why I know no matter what, if my heart quit beating right now, my soul would be with Jesus before my body even hit the floor, because the Apostle Paul said to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. That's quick. And Ephesians 2:6 says that I'm seated with Christ in the heavenlies right now. That's a mystery, that I can be here and also, in a sense, be with Jesus right now in heaven. So praise God. If you prayed that prayer, you have eternal life. Now God wants you to grow in Christ. Read your Bible every day, the King James Bible. Pray every day. Ask God to cleanse you every day of any sin that comes between you and him. That's walking in fellowship with him. And just tell others about Jesus and how to be saved. The only reason Jesus keeps you here once you get saved is for you to lead others to Christ. So get out there and do the job, because he's coming back soon.
All right.
This world's... Go ahead.
Thanks, Pastor Hal. Thanks for that invitation. You know what? We're at that time. You know what time it is, don't you? It's the time that we say... Good night. Say good night.
Good night.
Good night.
We say God bless.
God bless.
And then we say always. Let's do it, folks. Keep fighting the fight.
Fight.
Thanks for listening to the Voice of the Christian Resistance. What's Right, What's Left, hosted by Pastor Ernie Sanders. To learn more about our ministry, please visit us online at www.wrwl.org. Please tune in next time for another edition of What's Right, What's Left.
The preceding program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Hey, honey, can we talk?
Of course. What's up?
Well, I just thought you should know. I've been curious about the new Dr. Pepper strawberries and cream.
Have you felt this way a long time?
No, I just think I'd really like the taste of Dr. Pepper, swirled with layers of flavor.
If you feel that way, I think you should try it, babe.
It's amazing. I mean, you're amazing, too.
New Dr. Pepper strawberries and cream. The new flavor you deserve.